The Stop and Think News podcast begins now.
Hello, everybody. Joe from Stop and Think News here. Got a big show for you today. Lots to talk about. It's probably going to be one of my longer shows. What we're seeing right now with Trump is what we're going to start with. I hope your Friday's going well. And thank you for listening and being a member of my Telegram and visiting my website and so on. Before I get on with the Trump thing, I do think I need to mention, we are planning on launching a new show. I think I told you this last time, that will be called Rising Revelations. I think you're going to be interested in it. Tomorrow, hopefully, we're doing the Ben and Joe show. I'm not sure what time it will release. We're trying to stay, you know, Ben's a busy guy, so am I, so we try to keep it within, you know, afternoon, evening, we record, and then I have to process it and all that, and that takes time and so on. But anyway, back to Trump. We have seen so much lawfare going on with Trump. It's actually kind of sickening when you think about it, how often or how much we've seen. I'm going to start with this story. Because we have a federal judge who has denied Trump's bid for a new trial in the E. G. Carroll case. Now, I've gone on and on about this on my shows. What a joke it is. What a joke she is. What a nut case she is. Like I said, and by now you've all searched it out and seen it. I would play it. But like I said, her story came straight from Law and Order Special Victims episode, and just given her behavior on talk shows and so on, you can clearly see that this is ridiculous. I mean, it's just a sham. But this is one they found him guilty in, but not of rape, like everybody on the left likes to claim, of sexual abuse or something along those lines. It wasn't for what the media portrayed it to be, and it never happened, let's face it. So a federal judge has denied former President Donald Trump's request for a new trial in the civil suit brought by the writer E. Jean Carroll, who was awarded $83.3 million judgment by a jury that found Trump liable for defamation in January. The judge also denied a request to strike the damages in the case, which Trump had called entirely out of proportion with Carroll's reputational injury. Mr. Trump's argument is entirely without merit, both as a matter of law and a matter of fact, U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan wrote in an 18-page decision Thursday. Roberta Kaplan, an attorney for Carroll, who is unrelated to the judge, they had to add, she said she is pleased, though not surprised, by the decision. It was entirely reasonable for the jury to award E. Jean Carroll $83 million in damages given Donald Trump's continued defamation of Ms. Carroll during the trial itself, as well as his conduct in the courtroom where his hatred and disdain were on full display, Kaplan said during the judge's decision. An attorney for Trump said he intends to appeal the decision. We categorically disagree with Judge Kaplan's decision, said Alina Haba. It ignores longstanding constitutional principles and is a prime example of the lawfare raging across this country. We are confident that this decision will be overturned by the Second Circuit. Trump requested a new trial in March, filing that listed grievances about the trial and pretrial decisions, including the exclusion of evidence related to Trump's state of mind when he defamed Carroll. A longtime advice columnist, Carroll wrote a story in New York Magazine in 2019 accusing Trump of sexually assaulting her in a department store dressing room in the mid-1990s. She couldn't remember if it was spring or fall. She stated she was wearing a dress that literally didn't exist at the time. All this was not allowed in as evidence, by the way. She got the story from a Law and Order Special Victims Unit episode. Anyway, so the article goes on to say, Trump, who was president when the story was published, denied the allegations, calling Carroll a whack job and claiming he had never met her. He claimed in his March filing that the jury couldn't have reasonably concluded Carroll suffered damages as a result of his comments because they were made 5 hours after the story was published. Trump's attorneys pointed to a trickle of negative feedback Carroll received during a five-hour gap. Carroll's attorney said she was subject to sustained deluge of derision and threats. After Trump weighed in, Trump claimed the jury's findings were based on confusion, speculation, and prejudice, as opposed to the evidence presented at the trial. Kaplan wrote that Trump's argument ignored that the jury and court concluded the statements Trump was sued over were false, defamatory, and made with both actual and common law malice. It ignores the fact that the defamatory statements were viewed between at least 85 to 104 million times, Kaplan wrote. So that's, they won this one, so they can't let it go. And I'm not so sure that the Second Circuit or whatever it was is actually going to do the right thing here, if I'm being totally honest with you. Like I said, this is lawfare. This is lawfare. This is ridiculous. And it's not the only thing that they're doing to him. We all know this. Next, however, I have another story for you. If my computer would do what it needs to do here. I'm using my third backup computer because I had to do this from the garage today. So instead of unplugging everything that stays in my desk, both my computer, whatever, my other better laptop, I'm using this older one out here. So bear with me if things aren't perfect today. So next we have this. And this is from Professor Nez. I'm pretty sure I've played his stuff before. He does a pretty good job of covering the legal aspects of things. And this is called... there he is. I wanted you to see. This is Professor Nez on YouTube. Just in, Trump's defense team demolishes the prosecution case in New York hush money trial, which is another BS case against Trump. They're trying to demonize him for things that Congress has a slush fund for that we're supposed to have forgotten about. It made it in the news for about 10 minutes and then went away, if you recall. Only difference is, there's no proof that he actually paid any of these women to go away. However, his lawyer at the time, Cohen, was apparently, supposedly, possibly having an affair with the same person who had accused him of this, Stormy Daniels. And they came up with this plan to the point where even, Avenatti is now on True Social defending Trump. If that tells you anything. Leftist darling Avenatti is now going to be not the leftist darling anymore, and that's for sure. But let's get this video playing for you so you can check it out.
Trump's defense team in the quote-unquote alleged hush money trial absolutely demolished the prosecution's case. National Enquirer ex-publisher David Pecker back on the witness stand today over the ex-president's alleged payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. Yesterday, actually, Trump called his former ally's five-hour testimony, quote, beautiful. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And the former American Media Inc. CEO detailed schemes to buy and bury negative Trump stories from women ahead of the 2016 presidential election. And on a really kind of sad, ironic note, it's the president's wife's birthday, Melania Trump. Some people have called the most classiest first lady we've ever had in our country. Certainly one of the most beautiful, that's for sure. And I think she's definitely classy as well. I don't put too much stock in first ladies, but instead of being allowed. This is a former president of the United States. Instead of being allowed to be with his wife on this special day, the fake Don Judge Juan Merchan ordered Trump to be in the courtroom every single day of the trial, which is actually unprecedented, unheard of, and a lot of people would surmise that this is all about preventing him from going on the campaign trail. I mean, it's so absurd. It's so absurd. This is the most consequential election of our republic. We're literally in the home stretch here. We've got 6 months, 7 months till the actual election. This is the most important time to be out there campaigning and advocating your positions and why you're the best candidate. And this fake sham trial, don't take my word for it, millions of legal experts, legal analysts, all the best in the business, Alan Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley have all said this is a sham. By the way, Jonathan Turley is a Democrat, and he's saying this is a sham. So this isn't conspiracy. It's a total sham. He did nothing wrong, no crime, no victim, much like Letitia Big Shame James, much like Fannie Cash Money G. Willis, Alvin Do Nothing Bragg, the fake Don Juan Merchan. They're all in on this. This is all election interference. They won't let him be with his wife on this special day. Check out this video of Trump wishing his wife happy birthday.
I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday. It'd be nice to be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial. Terrible. But we're doing very well in this rig trial. Everybody knows it. Yesterday was a big day. But I do have to begin by wishing Melania happy birthday. She's in Florida. I'll be going there this evening after this case finishes up, this horrible, unconstitutional case.
It's so sad, you know what? I mean, you can really, really tell, too, that. And I've heard from real insiders who know Melania and the former president really well. They really, really love each other, and they just really care about each other. And the press wants to say, oh, you know, they've used all these ridiculous montages and ridiculous made-up stories that they're that she's a trophy. I mean, it's awful things they said about this relationship, but you can tell the love is there. And it is so embarrassing that this fake Don Juan Merchan judge, this corrupt judge, won't allow the former president. He's not in Georgia. The Georgia McAfee doesn't require him to be in Georgia. The Supreme Court's not requiring him to be for the immunity trial. Letitia Big Shame James isn't requiring him to be in the falsified financial records case, which is all, these are all shams. But for some reason, interestingly enough, fake Don Juan Merchan requires him to be there, and it's just embarrassing. So let's get into the testimony. So David Pecker, who is an ex-publisher of the National Enquirer, I don't know why the prosecution would think this is a credible witness, he testified today that essentially saying, I mean, he completely destroyed the prosecution's case. I'm going to share this video, plus we're going to talk about a couple of other things too. But the defense, Trump's defense team managed to absolutely destroy his testimony and poke holes all through it. Pecker testified that he ran hit pieces in coordination with Cohen and Trump against his political enemies. However, that's what he said yesterday. Today, Pecker admitted that his paper recycled stories from other papers and framed them in a different light because you're the ex-publisher of the National Enquirer, the most smut, ridiculous periodical that nobody takes seriously on planet Earth. It is the embodiment of fake news. It literally is fake news. The hit piece he ran on Ben Carson was actually published after Politico ran a very similar story. And then watch this. Listen to this video right here where Pecker admits that Trump had no idea what he was talking about when he's asked about reimbursing Michael Cohen for the Stormy payment. Check this out.
Pecker also said when he spoke to Trump about Trump reimbursing Michael Cohen for paying adult film actress Stormy Daniels, Trump told him he had no idea what Pecker was talking about. Pecker testified again about purchasing the lifetime rights to former Playboy model Karen McDougal's story as well. He said he did that in part because he and Cohen had concerns it would hurt Trump's campaign. Notably, he did not say those concerns came from Trump himself.
So where is the crime? Where is the victim? Where is the issue? Where is the obstruction? Where is the supposed criminal activity? It's nowhere to be found. And Pecker, who the prosecution brought up to testify, literally has just blown up the entire case. I mean, this case should be absolutely dismissed immediately. And then Trump lawyers absolutely destroyed, not that it was hard to do, Michael Cohen's character. Check this out. So he's the key witness. Michael Cohen's the key witness in this entire trial. And not only is he a convicted felon, but we now know he was concocting schemes to get more money from Trump. And he's all over TikTok, which is about to be banned. He's all over TikTok broadcasting, oh, I'm going to tell my side of the story. This guy is a complete vermin. That's what he is. According to David Pecker, check this out. This is huge. Cohen wanted him to send paparazzi to a meeting he was having with Mark Cuban in an attempt to make Trump jealous and put pressure on him to treat Cohen differently. I mean, there's no doubt that Cohen, admitted liar, admitted perjurer, admitted snake, admitted vermin, admitted turncoat, admitted betrayal. This guy is willing to do anything, say anything about Trump to get himself out of trouble. I mean, I think the biggest, I don't know why they would do it, but the biggest bombshell that's going to come out of this case, I mean, Pecker is nobody. The biggest bombshell that's going to come out of this case is, I don't even know if they're going to do it, but is when Cohen takes the stand. I think maybe the Trump defense team would subpoena him if the prosecution does not. But how do you hinge your entire case on a known, admitted liar who lied to Congress, who's lied to federal officers, who's lied to courts before? How do you hinge your entire case on somebody who has zero ethos and zero credibility? This case is going nowhere.
And that's pretty important. I mean, he's right. The dude has been caught lying a ton. And here we are, right? We're still doing this, right? We're still doing the whole, you know, let's get Trump. We're using Cohen, all this. The guy's a scumbag, for real. Like, for really real. But that's what the Democrats have with their election interference that they're doing right now. Is a bunch of scumbags, all the way down to the lawyers that are bringing these cases.
Where it's going nowhere fast. This should be dismissed. We should end this nonsense yesterday. We should end this circus clown show yesterday. Let's get on. You really want to put democracy on the ballot, Democrats? Stop trying to interfere with this election. Let these two go at it. Debates? Where's the debates? Where is Biden proving to the world that he has that he's not incontinent, that he's not incognizant, that he has his cognition abilities? Where is that? Why won't he debate Trump? Let's get these two in the ring. Have them debate. Have them actually flush out their ideas and their perspectives, and let the American people decide whether or not which policies moving forward are the best for them. That's what should be happening, not these sham impediments that people have admitted, legal scholars, legal experts have admitted time and time again, that what Alvin Do Nothing Bragg, what Judge the fake Don Juan Merchan are doing here, on top of Fannie Cash Money G, Letitia Big Shame James, and Jack, this is turned into the worst kind of banana republic. This is not America. And so these guys, I mean, people have admitted they're doing things that have no.
Yeah, this is literally the definition of democracy. Let's be real. Banana Republic is a democracy. A democracy is a banana republic.
Precedence in legal criminal justice system processes. They have no precedence. What Alvin Do Nothing Bragg is doing in this specific alleged hush money trial, legal scholars have admitted we've never seen anything like it. We've never seen him do, we've never seen a prosecutor, a district attorney bend and obstruct the truth in such a manner before. So this needs to be disbarred. It needs to be discontinued. It needs to be completely over yesterday. I want to throw this off to you guys, Nez Nation. What do you guys think? What do you think of David Pecker? What do you think of Michael Cohen? What do you think of that testimony where he said,
all right, that's all we need from him right now. That's the wrap up. So, but yeah, you can see where this is going, and it's not going well for them. Now, this next story is a testament to public school. As you all know, who've listened to me for any amount of time, I've even interviewed my daughter. She goes to online at-home homeschool learning. This is something here that we see a couple times a year. It seems to be happening more and more. Your kids are not, these teachers, these schools, they don't truly care about your kids. Whatever public school used to be, it is not any longer. So here's this story out of Pennsylvania. Parents at a Pennsylvania middle school outraged after girl brutally beaten. There were so many failures. We feel like the school district handled it wrong from start to finish, one parent said. I'm going to go ahead and play this video. I'm sure there's going to be a commercial at the beginning, so bear with me. I can't control websites. I can only control YouTube. Let's see what happens, if it'll even play on this old computer. It may not. All right. No, what do we got? Create a podcast in a minute. How convenient. Podbean. Look at that. That's convenient. Now we can skip the ad and unmute this.
Pembroke families are seeking answers after a fight at a middle school leaves a student seriously injured, and they want to know if it could have been prevented. I'm Jason Martinez.
I'm Sheba Russell. Those parents say they are extremely concerned. Kelly, what are you learning today?
Well, Sheba and Jason, tonight, Upper Gwinnett Police did allow me to view surveillance video of this alleged attack. They would not allow us to record it or did not provide us with any copies, but it did show the student running up to the victim from behind in a packed cafeteria and striking the victim several times on the head with a large Stanley cup. It lasted only a few seconds before a security guard and another staff member intervened. The student's head was visibly bleeding.
So basically, we need to ban Stanley cups. If people are going to use them as weapons, that inanimate object becomes a weapon and therefore it could be dangerous. And the kid's head was bleeding. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Police say this student will be charged.
And he texted me and just said, Mom, I'm scared. And I can't even tell you what it's like to get a text message like that when your kid is at school.
Sarah Batori got emotional talking about what should have been an ordinary Wednesday at Pembroke Middle School for her seventh grade son. She says she's now questioning if and when he'll return after what he witnessed.
He's been a mess ever since. I just feel like there had to be multiple failures along the way here for this to happen.
Upper Gwinnett police say a 13-year-old student violently attacked a 12-year-old student in the cafeteria unprovoked around 1:15 in the afternoon with a metal Stanley mug. Police say the 12-year-old was taken to the hospital. In surveillance video viewed by Fox 29, her head was bleeding. School officials say the school was placed on hold for about 8 minutes and then proceeded on with the day.
You get that call from your kid hearing the words, blood and help me, and you freeze and you panic.
The middle school principal sent a letter home to parents, first calling the incident a physical altercation. After 8 p.m. Wednesday night, the superintendent sent a longer email about the incident, saying the school's principal would be meeting with each grade today to discuss it and the support they will have available, including additional counselors. Mom Melissa Santiago says she reported the 13-year-old student earlier in the week to school counselors after her daughter was threatened.
If it was taken serious by multiple complaints, that little girl would have been in school today. My daughter is traumatized.
It didn't have to come to this. It did not have to come to this if they took action sooner.
This mom requested that we keep her anonymous.
So it's just very uneasy. Like, why did she pick that girl? Did she just pick a random person? I want to know, is this child returning? You know, how are you keeping our kids safe?
Now, the district declined to do any interviews today, and they also did not send any additional letters home to parents today. But they did say in that letter yesterday that they are taking all the steps they need to restore parents' confidence. They also said that rumors that the student was expelled from another school and transferred here to Pembroke are not true. Sheba and Jason, parents tell me they are going to tonight's school board meeting, that is, to voice their concerns.
All right, Kelly Rule there. Thank you very much.
All right, there you have it. I mean, this is becoming the norm in schools. The fact that they wouldn't allow them to film the security footage tells me something. I'm not going to speculate as to what it was about who the attacker was. I could be wrong, but it's just a pattern that I've noticed over the years. Now, moving on. Also, I hope your kids, if you can figure out a way for your kids to homeschool, do it. I'm not even kidding. This isn't, the 1980s anymore. There are plenty of ways to do it. All you need is one adult home. Look into it. That's all I can say, because this is going to get worse, and these teachers don't give a shit about your kids. Let's be real. So this next story is interesting. Fed's preferred inflation gauge show price pressures stayed elevated last month. That's an interesting word to say. Inflation rose some. So here it says, a measure of inflation closely tracked by the Federal Reserve remained uncomfortably high in March, unlikely reinforcing the Fed's reluctance to cut interest rates anytime soon, underscoring a burden for President Joe Biden's bid for re-election. Well, but we've got KGP telling us that the inflation is in our own heads. That's literally the avenue they went. They went with the American people are stupid. They don't know any better. And they're making all this up in their heads. So that's, yeah. Friday's report from the government showed that prices rose 0.3% from February to March, the same as in the previous month. It was the third straight month that the index has run at a pace faster than is consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target. Measured from a year earlier, prices were up 2.7 in March, up from a 2.5 annual rise in February. After peaking at 7.1 in 2022, the Fed's favored inflation index steadily cooled for the most of 2023. Yet so far this year, the index has remained stuck in the central bank's target rate. More expensive gas and higher prices for restaurant meals, healthcare and auto repairs and insurance, among with other items, have kept the overall pace of price increases elevated. And this is coming from, the AP, who is not pro-Trump. With new car prices up sharply in the past few years, auto repair and replacement costs have risen especially fast. Auto insurance, a major driver of inflation in recent months, was up 8% in March from last year. Gas prices jumped again last month, the government said, up 1.6% just from February to March. So far in April, gas prices are up still further, to a national average of $3.66 a gallon from $3.53 a month ago. $3.66, I don't think it's that low here. I guess that's the average, though, they're saying. Grocery prices, though, were unchanged last month and are up only 1.5 from a year earlier. only 1.5. It was expensive last year. It rose 1.5 is what they're trying to say without saying it to protect Biden. Do you see how they do? This isn't going to sit overly well with the Fed, said Ryan Sweet, chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics. I think it's clear that they are going to keep rates higher for longer. Like many economists, Sweet envisions no rate cuts before September. Friday's inflation data showed that excluding volatile food and energy costs, the two things you need to survive in today's world, especially if you live in the city. I mean, out here, I can pop a turkey. I don't care. I haven't, but I could if I had to, you know. Core prices rose by an elevated 0.3% from February to March, unchanged from the previous month. Compared with a year earlier, core prices rose 2.8% for a second straight month. The Fed closely tracks core prices, which tend to provide a particularly good read of where inflation is headed. So there you have it, folks. The Biden administration is making everything better for you by pretty much not making everything better for you. We didn't have this under Trump. And you liberals that are listening, or you fake Republicans who wanted to fake DeSantis or one of these others, they threw COVID at Trump. Fake COVID. They threw fake COVID at Trump. And by the time he was forced out of office, things were getting cheaper. And then Biden stepped into office and made a series of actions that ensured for this to happen. You can deny it all you want, but that's literally what happened. Those of us who pay attention watched it in real time. Now on to COVID. You're going to love this one. So there you have it. From the Daily Mail, runny nose is now the most common symptom of COVID, and only a fifth of the sufferers lose their taste or smell like you do with the flu or a bad cold. More than 80% of Brits reported suffering a runny nose when infected with COVID. I got to open this up a little more. I see it's cutting it off for some reason. There we go. That's a little better. Let me go on. A runny nose is the most common symptom of COVID, data shows. More than 80% of Brits suffer the sniffles when infected with the pandemic-causing virus. Only a fifth of sufferers lose their taste or smell, one of the original signs Brits were warned about when the virus burst onto the scene in early 2020. Meanwhile, a fever, another one of COVID's classic symptoms, only strikes a quarter of people who get infected. And then we got this chart that shows the most common COVID symptoms: headache, runny nose, muscle aches, tiredness, sore throat, cough. Okay. It's the flu. We got another chart here. I'm going to read what they... figure four, of those who tested positive for coronavirus, runny nose was the most commonly reported symptom. Boy, they want you to know this. Runny nose and sneezing, you see, is in between 80 and 100%. So you catch a cold or flu, you're going to have runny nose or sneezing. The next in line would be symptoms consistent with L, as defined by EDC cough, also a cough. Weakness or tiredness is just a little bit above that one, or behind that one, rather. We got sore throat, headache. Those are, you know, within the 60% range. Muscle and myalgia, that's within the 40. We have trouble sleeping, that's between 20 and 40, closer to 40. Fever, that's right closer to 20. Symptoms consistent with L, defined by CDC, shortness of breath, that's closer to 20%. Loss of appetite, closer to 20%. Difficulty concentrate, closer to 20%. And then we're underneath the 20% mark. Loss of taste, loss of smell, low mood, noisy breathing or wheezing. And we're just going down, for those of you who can't see, we're getting closer to 0% as I'm reading these. Nausea or vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea. I think they spelled that wrong, didn't they? Maybe I'm crazy. Worry or anxiety and memory loss. So there you have it. Sniffles, like we've said. And this isn't the first time they've said this. This is not the first time they've said this. And then the media brings up, ooh, COVID. We're all going to die of COVID. Yeah. So I guess get ready for the sniffles if you catch quote unquote COVID and try to survive. I know we're a weak generations now. Humanity's become so soft, they don't even know what bathroom to use. They can't identify what a female is. They all have purple hair. Video games are offensive if the woman's attractive. I mean, this is where we are in today's society. So I'm sure they get a runny nose and they freak the fuck out. So, all right. And in world news, we have Poland, whose leader says it's ready to host NATO members' nuclear weapons to counter Russia. So we're talking nuclear weapons. And believe me, Russia's not going to take this lightly. And I wouldn't either. Poland's president says the NATO member would be ready to host the nuclear weapons of the military alliance's other members in response to Russia's moving its nuclear weapons to the neighboring Belarus. President Andrzej Duda made the comments in an interview published Monday in the Fact tabloid. Russia has recently relocated its nuclear weapons to Belarus, Duda said, in a reference to Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko's announcement in December. If there were a decision by our allies to deploy nuclear weapons within the nuclear sharing, also in our territory, in order to strengthen the security of NATO's eastern flank, we are ready, Duda said. He said Poland is aware of its obligations within the 32-member alliance. That includes the United States. Prime Minister Donald Tusk, who shares Duda's views on national security, later told journalists that Poland's security and military potential are his priorities, but he needs to discuss his suggestions with Duda urgently. I would also like the potential any potential initiatives to be, first of all, very well prepared by the people responsible for them, and I would like all of us to be absolutely positive that we want it, Tusk said in a rather reserved response. This idea is absolutely massive, I would say, and very serious, and I would need to know all the circumstances that have led to the president to make this declaration, he said. Duda has previously spoken of Poland's openness to nuclear sharing with NATO before Tusk's government came to power in December. In Moscow, the Kremlin spokesperson said any deployment of U.S. nuclear weapons in Poland would be met with steps necessary for Russia's security. The military will, of course, analyze the situation if such plans are implemented, and in any case, will do everything necessary. Will take all necessary retaliatory steps, to guarantee our safety, Dmitry Peskov said during a daily news conference. So there we are. Inflation's high. COVID's the sniffles. They're trying to blow bird flu up into this big thing when the CDC says it's not even a big thing. The only state that even shows up on the CDC's map is Texas. But we're supposed to be all concerned. As I said in my last show, supposedly the dead virus is showing up in our milk. So milk is now basically inoculating us. And inflation's ridiculous. Don't worry, 83 million votes. That's all I can say. Got two more articles for you. This one I found to be kind of interesting, considering we haven't done anything to fix our elections. Blinken tells CNN the U.S. has seen evidence of China attempting to influence upcoming elections. There's a video. Let's just play it.
I want to ask you about a commitment that CNN has reported President Xi made to President Biden when they met in November. We've reported that he told President Biden that China would not interfere in the upcoming presidential elections in the United States. But since then, there have been reports of online Chinese accounts that have falsely mimicked Trump supporters. Do you believe that these accounts violate President Xi's commitment?
What I can tell you is this. President Biden was very clear about that with President Xi, and I repeated that today in my meetings.
You repeated what?
That any interference by China in our election is something that we're looking very carefully at and is totally unacceptable to us. Look, it's something we're tracking very carefully. I can't speak to these specific reports. I can say that as a general matter, we've been very clear with China, don't do it.
But they're not violating the commitment yet, as far as you can tell?
Well, again, I'd have to look at the specific reports that you're referring to, but we have seen, generally speaking, evidence of attempts to influence and arguably interfere, and we want to make sure that that's cut off as quickly as possible.
And there you have it. I know that audio sucked. It was weird. They were actually playing in... I got my headphones on. He was talking in my right ear. She was talking in my left ear. It was bizarre. Anyway, so there you have it. That's their next build-up for if Trump wins, China interfered in the elections, just like in 2016 it was Russia, right? Now, we know China has no interest in Trump winning over Biden, considering that Biden and co. are the people that were doing shady shit with China, whereas, you know, Trump was fighting against Chinese influence in our country, Chinese products in our country, and so on. But there we are. Joe Biden, Secretary of Defense or whatever the hell he is now claiming China's trying to get Trump elected. Yeah. Okay. Last story for you today, this Friday, and I will get you on your way. Thanks again for listening. CDC describes how unlicensed vampire facial treatment infected women with HIV. We're not disgusting humans, are we? Vampire facial means they, I assume, are using blood on their face to try to look young. How is this legal? I have no idea. Three women likely were infected with HIV after undergoing vampire facials at an unlicensed New Mexico spa. The first known instance of the virus being transmitted through cosmetic injection services. The investigation shows the dangers of unlicensed establishments that mix medical procedures with beauty treatments. According to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention report released Thursday, the investigation began in summer 2018 when a woman with no known HIV risk factors was diagnosed. The patient reported no injection drug use, recent blood transfusions, or recent sexual contact with any other than her current sexual partner, who received a negative HIV test result after the patient's diagnosis. However, the patient said she underwent a so-called vampire facial, a cosmetic procedure that draws a client's blood, separates the platelets, and then re-injects the platelet-rich blood into their face with microneedles. Ugh. So they're using your own blood. I guess that's not what I imagined it to be. Proponents of vampire facials say it helps plump sagging skin and reduces the appearance of acne scars or wrinkles. But the American Academy of Dermatology said there's little evidence to support it. However, the AAD said the facial seemed to be safe as long as the blood is handled properly, which in this case I'm wondering if it was, or if these women are lying and maybe aren't faithful. I don't know. The CDC recommended requiring adequate infection control practices at spa facilities offering cosmetic injection services to help prevent the transmission of HIV and other bloodborne pathogens. Within months of the positive test, the Albuquerque salon was shut down. The New Mexico Department of Health said it had identified practices that could potentially spread bloodborne infections such as HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C to clients. Investigators found a rack of unlabeled tubes containing blood on a kitchen counter, unlabeled tubes of blood and medical injectables such as Botox and lidocaine were stored in the kitchen refrigerator along with food. Unwrapped syringes were found in drawers, on counters, and discarded in regular trash cans. There was no steam sterilizer, and equipment that was meant to be single use, like a disposable electric desiccator tips was being reused. The spa zone owner operated without appropriate licenses and multiple locations and did not have an appointed scheduled meeting system that stored client contact information. Investigators compiled a cross-referenced names and telephone numbers from clients, consent forms, handwritten appointment records, and telephone contacts to create a list of potentially affected clients. In 2022, the spa's owner pleaded guilty to 5 felony counts of practicing medicine without a license and is now serving a 3.5-year prison sentence. Investigators found 5 patients with confirmed spa-related HIV infections, including one who had tested positive for HIV 2 years before getting a vampire facial in 2018 and a sexual partner of the woman. The other 3 patients identified had no known social contact with one another, and the only thing they had in common was the procedure done at the spa. So that's disgusting. I mean, that'll tell you, you know, that should tell you, like, don't put your own blood that is disgusting. People are disgusting. How important is it for you to look younger or better? Like, seriously, that's crazy to me, but whatever. Anyway, guys, that's the news that I found interesting today. I hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget the Ben and Joe Show Saturday. No set time. It'll come out when it comes out. Y'all have a great weekend. And until next time, be safe, be prepared. Just don't be a jerk about it. And I will talk to you very, very soon. Yeah.